This morning, the verse on the board is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 32. Indrajana Maharaj spoke on that verse yesterday, so we will chant it, but then I will speak on 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Krishna Varnam Visha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Harshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa.
Krishna Varnam Visha Krishnam
Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagner Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. So Indrajana Maharaj spoke on this verse yesterday. So move on to verse 33. Although that's such a wonderful verse, this next one is also in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeyam sada paribhavagnam adhisadoham chirtasparam shivavirinchinunam sharanyam vrityartiyam pranata pala bhavabdipotam vande maha purushate charanaravindam. My dear Lord, you are the Maha Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only object, eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service, and are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually a suitable boat for crossing over, the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, and therefore even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. Quite an extensive purport. By disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The incarnation of the Personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga is described and worshipped in this verse. The sage Karbhajana, after describing the incarnation of Godhead in each of the three previous yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dvapara, presented suitable prayers which are utilized for glorifying the Lord in each particular age. After describing the Lord's manifestation in Kali Yuga with the verse Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam, this and the next verse are now presented to glorify the Lord's appearance in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna Varnam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in Kali Yuga and teaches everyone to chant the holy name of Krishna. The members of the ISKCON movement are so much absorbed in Krishna Varnam, or chanting the holy names of Krishna, that sometimes ordinary persons refer to them as the Krishnas. In Australia they say, the Haris. Thus, whoever comes in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement immediately begins to worship Krishna by chanting his holy names. The words Jayam Sada are or always to be meditated upon indicate that there are no hard and fast rules in this age for chanting the holy name of Krishna. In the Kali Yuga, the authorized process of meditation is to chant the holy names of the Lord, especially the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process is to be executed constantly and always, sada. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrapita Niyamita Smarane Nakalaha. In the Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has kindly invested all his potencies in his holy name, and therefore there is no hard and fast rules for chanting such names. The mention of such rules refers to Kaladesha Niyama, or rules and regulations of time and place. Normally, there are strict regulations governing the time, the season, the place, the conditions under which one may execute a particular Vedic ceremony or chant a particular mantra. However, one should chant the holy name of Krishna everywhere and at all times, 24 hours a day. Thus, there is no restriction in terms of time and place. This is the meaning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. The word Paribhava Gnam is significant in this verse. In Kali Yuga, human society is infected with enviousness. There is great envy even among members of the same family who constantly quarrel in this age. Similarly, the neighbors are envious of each other and of each other's possessions and status. And entire nations burning with envy go to war unnecessarily at the risk of genocide caused by terrible modern weapons. But all of these harassments caused by family members, strangers, so-called friends, who are unfaithful, opposing nations, financial competition, social disgrace, cancer, etc., can be relieved by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not possible to save the material body, but one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loosens the hard knot of the heart that psychologically binds him to the hallucination of identifying with the external body or the subtle material mind. Once this false identification is broken, one can be blissful in any adverse material condition. Those who foolishly try to make the temporary body eternal by wasting their time and neglecting the actual process for making life permanent, which is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. In this verse, the word Kirtaspadam is significant. This is long. It means that the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the shelter of holy places. As the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, we often find, especially in poor third world countries, that it is very difficult for people to travel to India to visit the most exalted holy places such as Vrindavan and Mayapur. Especially in South America, it is difficult for a large number of devotees to visit such places in India and purify themselves. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that simply by worshipping him, Vaishnavas throughout the world receive the benefits of having visited the supreme holy place, namely the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus there is no loss for the followers of the Krishna consciousness movement despite their external situation. In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated, Kalo dhavya desha kriyadi janitam dhruvam aparvityam api nishankaniyam ichi bhava. In this age, the world is so polluted by sinful life that it is very difficult to become free from all the symptoms of Kali Yuga. St- still one who is faithfully serving the missionary work of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu need not fear occasional unfavorable symptoms of Kali Yuga. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu strictly follow the four regular principles: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. They try to always chant Hare Krishna and engage in the service of the Lord. However, it may happen that by accident an occasional symptom of Kali Yuga, such as envy, anger, lust, greed, etc., may momentarily appear in the life of a devotee. But if such a devotee is actually surrendered to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, such an unwanted symptom or anartha will quickly disappear. Therefore, a sincere follower of Sri Chaitanya of the Lord should never be discouraged in the execution of his prescribed duty, but should be confident that he will be protected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is also mentioned in this verse, Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are undoubtedly the two most powerful personalities within the universe. Still, they meticulously worship the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Sharanyam. Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are not safe in the shelter, without the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The word Vrityartiham Pranatapala indicates that if one simply bows down without duplicity to the lotus feet of the Lord, Pranata, then the Lord will give such a sincere candidate all protection. This verse does not mention that one need be an exalted devotee of the Lord. Rather, it is stated that if one simply bows down to the Lord with lotus feet, he will get all protection. This also applies to anyone who is trying to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the neophyte will get all protection by the mercy of the Lord. With regard to the words bhavabdipotam, or a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence, there is the following statement by Lord Brahma and the demigod in Srimad Bhagavatam. Svatparapoteina mahakriteina kurvanti go vasapadam bhavabdhim. By accepting your lotus feet as the boat by which one can cross the ocean of nescience, one follows the footsteps of the Mahajans and can cross that ocean as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. According to Sri Rupa Goswami, a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Jivan Mukta, or a liberated soul. Thus the devotee is not worried about his future destination, for he is confident that the Lord will quickly take him across the ocean of material existence. Such confidence is referred to in the Upadeshamrita by the Lord by the word Nischaya, meaning firm conviction about the potency of the process of devotional service. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the statement Shiva Virinchi Nutam is also understood to indicate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipped by Lord Shiva's incarnation, Advaita Acharya, and by Lord Brahma's incarnation, Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed in this verse as Mahapurusha, meaning Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, there is reference to Mahaprabhu in Svatara Upanishad, Mahan Prabhur Vai Purusha Satvatasyai Pravartaka. The Supreme Prabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the initiator of the entire cosmos. Similarly, Lord Sri Gaura Krishna is addressed by the word Mahapurusha in this verse, and the whole intention of this verse is to offer obeisances to his lotus feet. Such lotus feet are the actual eternal object of meditation because they cut off the bondage of material life and fulfill the desires of the devotees. Although the conditioned souls, laboring ardently under illusion, pursue many temporary goals in life, there is no possibility of their achieving actual bliss or knowledge. Such eternal bliss and knowledge is actually wealth. One should not neglect the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking him to be an ordinary person, and instead accept the temporary, useless shelter offered by the illusory energy of the Lord. Those yogis who falsely select some other object of meditation besides the lotus feet of the Lord are simply creating obstructions to their own eternal life. When the meditator, the meditation and the object of meditation are all on the eternal platform of the Lord, then actual shelter has been achieved. Generally, the conditioned souls are engaged in bhoga-tyaga. Sometimes they run madly after mature prestige and sense gratification, and sometimes they desperately try to renounce these things. However, beyond this vicious cycle of alternating sense gratification and renunciation of the lotus feet of the Lord, which constitute the ultimate abode of peace and happiness for the living entity. The following are additional notes on the verse given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Dhyayam, the object indicated by the word Dhimahi in the Gayatri Mantra. Tirthaspadam, the original shelter of the places headed by Sri Gaurakshetra and Brajamandala, the original shelter, namely the lotus feet of the Lord, of the great devotees of the Brahma Sampradaya following in the succession of faithful hearing. The succession of faithful hearing begins with Srimad Ananda Tirtha Madhvacharya and is continued by the Rupanuga Mahabhagavatas, the highly elevated followers of Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya. Shiva Vrinchi Nutam, he who is worshipped by the incarnation of Shiva Srimad Advaitacharya Prabhu and by the incarnation of Vrinchi Sriman Acharya Haridas Prabhu. Brityartiham, he who destroyed by his causeless mercy the misery of his own servant, the Brahmana Vasudev, who was afflicted by leprosy in Chaitanya Lila. Bhavavdipotam, the means of crossing over the ocean of samsara, or the shelter of those who are freeing themselves from material existence, who afflicts the living entity in the form of hankering for liberation and material enjoyment. Such persons who took advantage of this transcendental abode of the Lord's lotus feet are Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was saved from Mukti Kama, the desire for liberation, and Prataparudra Maharaj, who was saved from Bhukti Kama, or the desire for material opulence. Om Agyan Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pungum Langayate Girim Yatkrapa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinataranam Namo Maha Varanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishay Namaha Tavasmi Radhika Natha Karmana Manasagira Krishna Kante Tavaivasmi Yuvame Vagatir Mama Govinda Valaveradhe Parthaye Tamaham Sada Twariyayati Janatu Govindo Mamtayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunam Ritavahini Kripaya Nidaparajadasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Tavaivasmi, Tavaivasmi, Najivani Tvayavina Iti Vigyaya Devi Tvam Nayanam Charanantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Adhidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this is a verse from glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and great emphasis is given to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are compared to a boat that can lead one or take one over the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam states, Samasritaye padapalavapavam mahatpadam punyayaso murari Bhavam Bude Vatsa Padam 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 Yadvipatam Natesham. That for one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of Mukunda, then the great vast ocean of material existence, which is full of sharks and other scary creatures, shrinks in size to the span of a calf's hoofprint. Very small. So the ocean is very deep. It is vast, wide, and it is very dangerous. A few weeks ago, we were on the Gold Coast, and we did Harinam in Surfers Paradise. And after the Harinam, a few of us went for a swim in the ocean. And the water was very rough and very strong. And I became a little concerned, because I was swimming and then I thought of the other devotees, and I turned around and I saw Maturana somewhere floating away out into the ocean. So I called out, "Are you all right?" But he was going under and coming up and going under. So I swam out to grab him by the hand, and I was struggling myself to bring him back. I also started being pulled out, and Dominic was also coming out to help Mathura. Luckily we had the foresight to swim between the flags, and basically when I got him back to the place where we could stand, a life rescue lifeguard was there, and he put Mathura on his board and took him back into shore. So the ocean is very rough and very dangerous. We were not so far from the sand, from the beach, but the water is very strong. The Mathura was being pulled away. So the ocean, trying to cross the ocean, that was just swimming by the beach, trying to cross the ocean. Why do we want to cross the ocean? We want to return to Krishna. So we want to cross over this ocean of material existence. Sometimes it is said that we are drowning in the ocean of material existence. But taking shelter of the lotus feet, this verse says Mukunda. Mukunda means he who gives liberation. So if you take shelter of Mukunda, then that great ocean shrinks. So what is the most recommended process? Doing pious activity, getting pious credit. But you stay in the ocean, so maybe the currents, the waves are a little smaller and the currents are less strong. But you are still in the ocean of material existence. You do tapasya, penance and austerities. You learn to control the subtle prana within the body, to focus the mind and get the power to use mind to control matter. So you have some power, but you are still in the ocean of material existence. You may have a little more comfortable experience, but you are still here. Only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda can this ocean be crossed. Now, this verse, glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, states that by taking shelter of his lotus feet, one can cross the ocean of material existence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Mukunda himself, although they are non-different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, the most merciful manifestation of Godhead. So if the most recommended process is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda in order to cross the ocean of material existence, even more effective is taking shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Mukunda? But as Mahavadanya, Mahavadanya avatar, the most merciful, most munificent manifestation of Godhead. Why is he so merciful? Odharya Murti. Mayapur Dham, it is called Odharya Dham. That is the abode of magnanimity. How do you say that?
Magnanimity.
It is the abode of mercy. Odharya Dham. Vrindavan, it is called Madhurya Dham. That is Krishna's abode of sweetness. His most wonderful, sweet pastimes are manifest, are taking place constantly in Sri Vrindavan Dham, and Krishna is Madhurya Murti. He is the form of sweetness. Vrindavanam parityajya tarekam nabhigacchati. Sri Krishna never leaves Vrindavan because that is his place of sweetness. Bhagavan, the great powerful Godhead, Narayan, manifests great opulence, and although his qualities are unlimited, saguna, he has qualities, transcendental, spiritual qualities, contrary to what is believed by the Mayavadis, who describe the Lord as nirguna, or focus on that description in the Vedas, which says that he has no material qualities. The Lord is full of transcendental qualities, sagunam. These are described as being 60 in number, as a summary. Although the qualities are unlimited, and shesh can never come to the extent of those glories, they are described as being 60 in number. But in addition to that, Sri Krishna manifests four qualities of sweetness, four madhurya qualities, and these are rupa madhurya, that he has a most beautiful form, tribhanga sundar Krishna. He stands with a form that bends in three places. You can see Vallabha is showing that pose. His head is tilted to one side, his arms are bent, his hip, he's bent at the hip and at the knee. So this is Krishna's beautiful Tribhanga Sundara form. And this form is so wonderful, so sweet, that Krishna himself is attracted by it, that Narayan himself is eager to see it. Another of his qualities, you can see Vallabha is holding a flute, Venu Madhurya. He plays this beautiful flute which enchants all the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. This flute is the enemy of the gopis because Krishna uses it to bewilder their minds, Manohari. He steals their minds. And so sometimes they consider it an enemy, and they look for every opportunity to steal it, that Krishna will not have so much power over them. Lila Madhurya. Krishna performs wonderful, sweet pastimes. Pastimes that bewilder even Brahma and Shiva. Brahma thinks, how can this be the Supreme Godhead? This little boy tending cows. This little boy who's being chased by his mother with a stick, and he's crying and rubbing his eyes, and his chest is moving due to quick breathing. How can he be God? These pastimes are so sweet. And Prema Madhurya. He's always surrounded by loving devotees. Devotees like Yasoda, who doesn't know that Krishna is God, or even if she does know, she doesn't care. She sees the universal form within his mouth and says, what is that? And she holds him closer to her chest and shakes him from side to side. Or the cowherd girls, they see when Krishna comes home in the evening from the forest of Vrindavan, the demigods are in the sky, showering flowers. And they think, oh, Krishna is so beautiful that even the demigods, they want to have his darshan. They don't think, oh, he's God, and so the demigods are offering prayers, and we should also offer prayers. No, they think, he's so charming. Who wouldn't come to the sky if they were a demigod to see him? He's so beautiful. On the other hand, when Arjuna saw the universal form, he dropped to his knees and folded his palms and said, I'm sorry. that sometimes I called you friend. I'm sorry that I sat on the same bed as you sometimes and ate from the same plate. It totally interfered with his intimate relationship, that understanding of Krishna's Godhead. When Vasudeva and Devaki understood that their boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it changed the way they could relate with him. But it didn't for the residents of Vrindavan. So Krishna manifested these pastimes 5,000 years ago on earth. He brought Vrindavan Dham to the earth. He brought all of his loving associates that are unique to Vrindavan. He brought them to the earth and he manifested these pastimes for all to behold, for us to encounter in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Kaviraj Goswami states that after returning to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna thought, although I manifested these pastimes, although I displayed them, I exhibited them for all to see, I didn't make it easy for people to come in. I didn't make it easy for them. Although I demonstrated it, that they could awaken their desire to participate. In that way I invited everyone to come in, but I didn't make it easy for them. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. The prerequisite is surrender. Just surrender to me. Now I'm going to make it much easier. I will return to the earth. And I will give this prema freely. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami explains, based on the explanations of Sarup Damodara Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has an internal and an external mission. His external mission is that which I just described. He's come back to the earth to make it easy to freely bestow prema, to freely bestow prema bhakti, regardless of qualification or disqualification. If there is an interest, if there is a desire, that prema will be given. Naam naam akari bahuda, time, place, circumstance, they are of no consequence in the chanting of the holy name which Mahaprabhu has bestowed. Once Mahaprabhu was going to answer nature's call on the bank of the river, and a small boy, his name was Gopal, he saw that Mahaprabhu was biting his tongue like this and walking to the river, and he said, Mahaprabhu, this Gopal was 5 years old, Mahaprabhu, why are you biting your tongue like this? Mahaprabhu said, Gopal, my tongue just wants to chant constantly. And now I'm going to answer nature's call. This is an impure activity, so I think it's not the appropriate time to chant. Therefore, I'm biting my tongue. Gopal said, Mahaprabhu, there is no consideration, pure or impure, in the chanting of the holy name. You can chant constantly. Don't worry for that. And Mahaprabhu said, Gopal, you have spoken correctly. You have spoken like Guru. Therefore, I will call you Gopal Guru. And from that day on, all the Vaishnavas called little Gopal, Gopal Guru. And later he was Gopal Guru Goswami. And he had a famous disciple named Dhyanachandra Goswami, who wrote a manual on sadhana called the Gaur Govinda Archana Smarna Parati. So there is Nam Namakari, there is no consideration, time, place, circumstances, qualification, disqualification, just chant. In the performance of Vedic rites, so much consideration is given to these things, the proper muhurta, the proper time, that the place is pure, that the priest is qualified to conduct the ceremony. So much emphasis is given that the right ingredients are used. When the rishi, the Brahman rishi named, I think it was it Dadichi, was performing a sacrifice. To create someone, a demon, to destroy Indra. Was it Dadichi? He mispronounced some words. It wasn't even that he mispronounced the syllables, it was just that the tonation was wrong. It's like in English, if you just, depending on how you emphasize the words, you get a different meaning. The teacher said the boy is a fool. The teacher said the boy is a fool. So in one way the teacher is the fool, the other the boy is a fool. So was it Dadichi? He just gave the wrong tone to his pronunciation, that let an enemy of Indra be born. And he created a demon, not one that would kill Indra, but one that Indra killed, just because of his not giving the right tone, the right emphasis to some syllables. So there are so many considerations in the performance of Vedic sacrifice, but in the chanting of the Maha Mantra, as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is no such consideration. He makes it very easy. And by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, under the guidance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is not that you will just achieve liberation, as you will achieve by chanting Om, or other Vedic pronouncements. It's not that you will just achieve by Kunta, as you will by chanting Om Namo Narayanaya. By chanting Hare Krishna, under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guidance, you can achieve that topmost Padam Padam, abode of the Lord, that is Goloka Vrindavandam, Rajadam, in the spiritual sky, where Krishna has his eternal pastimes as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and the friend of Subal and Sridham, the lover of the gopis. That you can achieve, regardless of time, place, regardless of whether your birth is in this family or another family, by chanting Hare Krishna, taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. He is so merciful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. He says that when the king is drunk and decides to go onto the street and give away his most precious jewels from his treasury to anyone who's just loitering the street, who can stop him? If the king makes that gift, then that jewel belongs to that person. Who can say otherwise? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is walking the streets of Kali Yuga, giving these most valuable jewels, the jewel of Prema Bhakti, regardless of qualification, disqualification. That is mercy. Means nobody deserves it, but it is given anyway. So Mahaprabhu is drunk. How is he drunk? That is the internal reason for the Lord's appearance. The external mission is to establish the Dharma for the age, to make it very easy for people to achieve Vrindavan Dham. The internal reason is that he wants to taste prema in the mood of his devotee. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained that there were three unfulfilled desires of the Lord. He wanted to understand, although he knows everything, there were three things that were perplexing to him. What is that bliss that is experienced by my devotee who loves me? What is it that they're experiencing in loving me? So, you may be in love with someone and experiencing so much emotion on that account. You see them, your heart flutters. They may not love you, they may not know about your feelings for them, and so they experience nothing. So Krishna, he's loved by his devotee, and he loves his devotee, but he wants to know, what is that experience of my devotee in loving me? That they are ready to do anything for me, particularly the gopis of Vrindavan. They are ready to give up everything for me. He tells them, Na pariham, I am unable to repay you. Although in the Gita, Krishna says, Yayata mam prapadyante tam sate vabajamyaham, as they surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. You approach for material things, you get material things. You approach for liberation, you get liberation. You approach with love, you receive love. He says that in the Gita. But in the Bhagavatam, he tells the gopis, Na pareham, I cannot repay you. Your surrender, your love is so great. I cannot repay you. All I can ask you is that you please just be satisfied with that love itself. And they are. That's all they desire. Krishna wants to taste that. What is my devotee experiencing in loving me? He also wants to know what is his own sweetness that incites such love. What is it that's attractive about Krishna? What is it like to see him, to hear him, to receive his glance? What is that sweetness that is there in Krishna? He wants to know that. And what is the extent of Srimati Radharani's love? So for these three reasons, he appears, taking Radharani's bhava, her mood, and her duty, her complexion. Radha bhava duty sulalaitam krishno mi swarupam. Although he is Krishna himself, as we heard in the previous verse, Krishna varnam tvisha Krishna. Although he is Krishna himself, he is not Krishna, he is not black. Although Krishna himself, he is not blackish. Because Radha bhava duty sulalaitam Krishna, because he has taken the duty, the complexion, and the mood of Srimati Radharani, of his topmost devotee. On the inside, he is Krishna, he is black. On the outside, he is Gauranga, he is golden, like Srimati Radharani is Gaurangi. And he is, although Krishna, he is in the mood of his devotee, and he's experiencing, he's relishing Krishna praying. He's crying, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, are you by Govardhan Hill? Are you by the bank of the Yamuna River? He's experiencing the greatest Mahabhava. Mahabhava means the highest experience of love. There are different levels of prema. Rupa Goswami so wonderfully describes bhakti. He defines it, its characteristics. He also describes prema, which is the fruit of bhakti, the fruit of the creeper of bhakti. He defines its different aspects and different divisions. Let me see if I can remember them. One of the early divisions is called sneha. That is the earliest. Sneha means there is affection. You have some affection for someone. I have a soft spot in my heart for that person. May not be so openly expressed, but sneha means there is some feeling for another person in the heart. Then there is pranaya. In pranaya, that affection is more readily expressed. It is more openly expressed. There is deeper attachment, deeper affection. But in this relationship, there is great conscientiousness of the sensitivity towards the other person. So when you're in a new relationship with someone, you don't openly express your own desires. Well, what do you want? How would you do it? And you are very cautious how you act around the person, very sensitive to their needs. That is called pranaya. Then, at a deeper level, then the love turns to mana. Mana means can mean anger. So you love the person so much, and they do things, and you would prefer that they did them differently because you love them. And so you express an anger towards them. Then there is raga. Raga means deep attachment. It means a type of possessiveness. He is mine. She is mine. Then there is anuraga. And anuraga is a very deeper level of raga. And that is where you become even jealous of inanimate objects that are somehow connected to your object of love. So the gopis are jealous of Krishna's flute, because the flute can be with Krishna and we can't. The flute can touch Krishna's lips openly and we can't. That is anurag. And then there is mahabhav. Bhava and mahabhava. Bhava is madness in love. When you say things that may not be coherent and you're not able to think properly, think straight. And mahabhava is the ultimate expression of that madness in love. And we see that in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His love for Krishna has made him mad. He's become mad in his love for Krishna. And so he sees a sandroon in Jagannath Puri and he shouts out a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Hantaya Madri Ravalahari Dasa Varaya Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramada Manam Tanoti Sahagogana Yasta Yurya Paniyasuya Basakandara Kandamulai. He glorifies Govardhan Hill in the words of Srimati Radharani, that this Govardhan is certainly the best servant of Hari, because it is Govardhan is experiencing great ecstasy, great happiness, jubilation in serving Krishna and Balaram, providing soft grass for their cows, different mineral pigments to decorate their bodies, caves in which they can play wonderful pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu runs towards the Sanjun and falls down unconscious. And the devotees run behind him. And they see Mahaprabhu lying there, his limbs elongated. And they're very concerned. They're worried. What has happened to Mahaprabhu? He's unconscious. It's an emergency. So they shout very loudly, Krishna, Krishna! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mahaprabhu opens his eyes and he sees them all there and he says, what have you done? How could you do this to me? I was in Vrindavan. I was at Govardhan Hill and I saw Radha and Krishna entering into a cave and the gopis engaged me in picking flowers for their pastimes. I was picking flowers and then you all made such a loud noise and brought me here. Now what will I do? It's very difficult for the devotees to see Mahaprabhu in an emergency condition, but then to be chastised for doing something about it. He also saw the ocean and glorified the Yamuna, Chidananda Vano, Sadananda Suno, Pada Prema Patri. Ran into the ocean and devotees, they came looking for him. Where is he? They met a fisherman manifesting symptoms of ecstasy in love of Godhead. Hari Hari! He was chanting the names of Hari Hari. Fisherman, what happened to you? I've been haunted by a ghost. Generally, I fish out here in the night, and it's no problem because I chant my Nishringa mantra. Ugram viram mahavishnum jalantam sarvato mukham Nishringam vishanam badram mrityum mrityum namamyam. But this ghost is really powerful. He's a Brahma ghost. Brahman ghost. My Nrsingha mantra doesn't work. And I've been haunted. And the devotee said, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the fisherman caught this dead body, Brahman ghost, haunted body in his fisher net. They said, that's Mahaprabhu, take us there. He says, no, it's not Mahaprabhu. I saw him at the temple. He looks totally different. He says, no, that's him, take us. He says, no, really, Mahaprabhu's body is golden. And this body is white like a conch shell. And Mahaprabhu's body is long, but it is not long like this. This body has dangling arms that are separated at their joints. The devotees went there. Again they chanted Hare Krishna very loudly. Mahaprabhu returned to consciousness and chastise them. What have you done? Where have you brought me? I was in the Yamuna River. I was by the Yamuna River. And I saw Krishna and the gopis. They were sporting. They dressed in yellow bathing robes. Not yellow, white. White bathing robes. They entered the Yamuna and they were splashing one another. Beautiful, beautiful description in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The blue lotuses fighting against the pink lotuses. And after that, they came out of the water, they dried themselves, dressed and ornamented themselves beautifully and entered into a jeweled cottage. And beautiful, delicious food preparations were served. I was there, and you brought me here. So this is the Mahabhava. Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, some way repaying that which he said could not be repaid. Experiencing Radha's pain, experiencing the gopi's pain, and bliss, it's painful bliss, of loving him, understanding their experience as a way of repaying them, but also just to fulfill his own desire to taste that intensity of love of God. And as he's relishing this, like a drunkard. With Vishwanath earlier, he said, compared Mahaprabhu to a drunk king. Another great acharya, he says, when the drunkard is drunk and is drinking, it's his alcohol, his liquor, then he's so drunk that whether the liquor falls into his mouth or not, he doesn't know. And so he's pouring the liquor and it is falling all over the place. And so Mahaprabhu is drinking that prema, that love of God, that most intense Mahabhava. He's relishing that. And the drops are falling everywhere. The drops are going all over the place. And we fortunate people in this age of Kali, we can catch those drops. And Mahaprabhu is very happy to let us have them. As he's relishing the nectar, then that prasad is going all over the place. And the fortunate people of Kali, they can take that. They can take that, which is not available in other ages. Not so readily available. It is there, but it remains hidden. Mahaprabhu opens that all up. Therefore, Mahavaranya Avatar. Therefore, we should take shelter of his lotus feet. Take advantage of the opportunity. And help him in his mission of sharing love of Godhead. That is the way to take shelter of his lotus feet. A very powerful way to take shelter of his lotus feet. To participate in his Sankirtan mission. He says that I am a gardener and I have these fruits. These fruits of love of Godhead to distribute, but I cannot do so by myself so easily. But if I have help, if I have assistance, then I can distribute so many more fruits. So he's very kind to give us that opportunity to assist him in distributing the fruits of love of Godhead and endearing ourselves to him, that we can get that nectar which he wishes to bestow. So we will conclude here. I'll take one or two comments or questions. If we have any. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. That is rasa. So there are two things to understand anything and anyone. There is tattva and there is rasa. So let me give you a mundane example and then we can try to understand the transcendental. Sometimes Westerners, they understand in Indian culture, in the married life, then the man is the boss, he's the leader, the wife must just follow. That is the tattva. But the rasa is something else. The relationship, how it is expressed, is something else. In the relationship, then the man is trying to please, to provide a nice facility for his wife, that she's happy, and she's performing services, but she endears him to her, that he's actually controlled by her. So these two things are working together, tattva and rasa. So in the relationship with the spiritual master, spiritual master is to be worshipped as good as God. That is the tattva. The rasa is that he's a person as well, or he or she. They are a person, and they have likes and dislikes, and different relationships may be there with different disciples. And so sometimes the disciple sees humanness in their spiritual master, and they say, how can that be? It's supposed to be as good as God. And yes, that is the tattva, but also a person. And so with Krishna, the tattva is, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he knows everything, sarvajñata. But in rasa, he becomes mugdhata, he forgets even that he is God. In Vrindavan, he forgets that he's God. And when Agasura stands there with his wide open mouth, coward boys are to enter, he goes, oh my God, what am I going to do? He becomes perplexed and sits down, concerned All these boys have just entered into the mouth of a big snake. What am I going to do? Although he's God, he has forgotten it. And that increases the relationships, the rasa in Vrindavan Dham. He prefers that, he likes that. And so in his relationship with the gopis of Vrindavan, so then he could become Sarvajata and know the mood and the mind of the gopis of Srimati Radharani. But that's missing the point. It's about love and relationship. So he wants to understand that, not as God, the all-knowing, but as a lover. Understand?
Anuruddha Prabhu.
Anuruddha Shakti has greater potency. Overcomes the jnana.
Okay. Anuruddha Prabhu is saying that the Lila Shakti of the Lord has greater potency and overwhelms the jnana Shakti in the Vrindavan pastimes. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandini.